talked last week about the importance of our Heavenly Father's name, and why we should use it, and the scandal of erasing it from our Bibles. We went to that at length last week, and this week we're going to address the question of the pronunciation of Yahweh's name. Let me start by saying that if you don't agree with what I am sharing today, there is absolutely no judgment from me whatsoever. I'm not here to tell you you're a bad person because you pronounce it different than me, or that you're somehow lesser than me, or anything of that nature. I'm here to share from the perspective of the Hebrew language, from the perspective of Yahweh's name having a meaning attached to it. I'm here to share what I'm seeing in the Holy Word, and hopefully all of us one day will, I know if we're all faithful to Yahweh in the end, He'll correct one of us. Most important thing is that we do want to know the truth. We do want to understand what He is saying His name is, and walk in that. So, now, there's some wonderful thing we do agree on, and that is His name consists of four Hebrew letters, which if you look here on the screen, the four Hebrew letters there are the Hebrew letters Yod, He, Waw, and He. Yod, He, Waw, He. So here's the Yod, here's the He, here's the Waw, and here is the He. And so you'll notice that Hebrew reads from right to left. And so we read from left to right, and actually we're reading backwards, because Hebrew started first, right? So, all right, so now, the name I believe is most accurate is Yahweh. It's also a pronunciation that most scholars believe is the most likely, most accurate possible transliteration. It's the pronunciation used universally in all of their journals and publications. And I understand, first of all, the reservation of scholars believe this. Oh, look out. I've been deceived by scholars in Bible and you know, people that are professionals before. And we've had this bad history, you know, with religious leaders. But we cannot allow our past experiences to have any impact whatsoever on one direction or the other direction. What if they're correct? Is that possible? It's possible for those in traditional Christianity to be correct. They believe Yahshua is the Messiah. We're not going to start going that direction, I hope, that He's not the Messiah. So what we need to do is we need to investigate the reason why they believe that Yahweh is the most accurate of any proposed possible pronunciations. Now, it turns out that there's a really, really good reason why they believe the name Yahweh is the most accurate. It's because it carries a meaning in Hebrew. It carries a meaning in the language. So, I'm going to give you a real brief Hebrew lesson here, okay? You can check any book on Hebrew grammar, and you will see that what I'm saying is true. Most Hebrew words trace back to a three-letter root. So, from that three-letter root, certain letters and sounds are added to the beginning of the word or to the end of the word, along with changes in vowel sounds. And it's those changes that inform you whether this word is in the first person, second person, or third person, me, you, or him. Whether it's masculine or feminine, or whether it's perfect, which means the action is complete, it doesn't have a past, present, and future tense in biblical Hebrew. It does in modern Hebrew, spoken in the land today, but not in biblical Hebrew. So the action is either completed, or it's ongoing or incomplete. So perfect or imperfect. Or more complex things like intensive or causative. So the suffixes, the added letters added to the name or to a word tell you whether it's plural, singular, all kinds of different things. And because of this, the grammatical modification of that three-letter word, how they're going to change from the three-letter root to something else, that will tell you how the word sounds. It's like our English, we use the verb run, right? But when we want to go past tense, we change the middle vowel to ran. And then we add ing if it's present tense. Why? Because we just do. It's just how English works. Now, we often add an S to a word to make it plural. Why do we do that? Because that's just how English works, right? So just as it might be hard for us to explain to a Spanish-speaking person or somebody else, why does run become ran and running if they don't know the language? Sometimes it is hard for us English speakers to understand, why is Hebrew doing what it does? And the only way you're going to know why Hebrew does what it does is if you know the language. And this language barrier is part of why there's so much controversy about how you pronounce the sacred name. But understanding this fundamental principle, everything goes back to a three-letter root, and then consonants, vowels change, different things happen to the word to inform whoever you're speaking to what you're saying. All right? So, understanding that will help us understand what's going on actually in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. Moshe said to Elohim, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and I say to them, 'The Elohim of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And Elohim said to Moshe, "I am who I am." Now in Hebrew, he's saying, "Eye Asher Eye. Eye Asher Eye." That's what he's saying in Hebrew. And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am,'" that's Eye, "has sent me to you." All right, since he said that, why are we not calling Yahweh Eye? Why don't we call him Eye? There's a reason for that. So let's see if we can examine the Hebrew to determine why. Eye descends from a three-letter root. That's how Hebrew works. Descends from a three-letter root. In almost every case, there's exceptions. Sometimes two-letter root. But here we have Haya has a meaning of to be. That's what Haya. And Hawa also means to be. Hawa is the oldest form. It's found in the book of Job, which is really the oldest book in the Bible, book of Job. So, Hawa and Haya both mean to be. So, when it comes to Yahweh saying, "I am," he's going to say, "I be." I am, right? And so, Eye is how you say Haya, first person, masculine, imperfect. That doesn't mean he's not perfect. It means he's not done existing. He's not a completed thing. Okay, it means that he's ongoing, all right? And so, Eye is how you say this root verb, haya, in the first person, masculine, imperfect, singular. That's how you say it. It's just how it works. This is how Hebrew works. That's how they knew to translate it, I am. All right. So, go to verse 15. And it says, moreover, Elohim said to Moshe, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, there's the four letters. It's not AA. It's something else. I believe it's Yahweh, and I'll explain why in a minute. But Yahweh, mighty one of your fathers, mighty one of Abraham, the mighty one of Isaac, and the mighty one of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. It's not AA. It's this up here. And this is my memorial to all generations. And so the question becomes, why did he first say Eye, and now he's saying Yahweh? Well, in Hebrew, since the verb form tells us the correct pronunciation, to discover the correct pronunciation of Yahweh's name, we only need to figure out what verb form is being expressed with the word Yod-Heh, Wow-Heh, the four letters in Hebrew, which I believe is pronounced Yahweh. Well, thankfully, we already know that it's going to come from Hawa simply because there's a Wa here in the middle. If it was from Haya, it would be like, so you got the Yod going to Yod. This is actually the Yod here. But in this case, we've got the Wa going to Wa, and so we know it comes from the oldest form, which makes the most sense. The name of Yahweh is a very old name. And so it's probable that this was may have originally been Ewe, but it doesn't really matter because it means the same thing, okay? It means the same thing. So the name Yahweh begins with a Yod, this Y sound right here. Unlike Eye doesn't begin with a Yod. It is a consistent feature of Biblical Hebrew that when you put a Yod in the front to mark the word as third person masculine, in imperfect, still existing tense, that it's going to go and say he. So, he is instead of I am. All right, examples of that are plentiful in Hebrew. Here is the Hebrew word ra'ah, resh, aleph, hey, ra'ah, and it means to see. Now, if you want to say he will see, you're going to put a yod in front of it. See, the difference between this and this is there's a yod in front of it, and there's some vowel changes. And so this is what's found in Genesis 22:14, Yahweh Yireh. He will see. That means he's going to see to provide for you. Okay? So he will see. So now we've gone from Ra'ah to Yireh. Then we have Bana to build. Bana, if you want to change this to he will build, then you add the yod in front, meaning he. Ye, Yivneh is how you say he will build. He will build the temple, 1 Kings 11:38. So the yod is informing us that we're going to change now to third person, he is. It makes sense that we, as not the ones who are self-existing, wouldn't be calling him I am, because I'm not. I'm not the self-existing mighty one. I would be referring to him as he is. He is a self-existing, right? All right, so it makes sense that we're going to flip, we're going to add a yod to that original Hebrew. So, looking here, now we've added the yod to Hawa, just like we see how we added the yod right here, to these three letters, Okay, add a yod to it. Just like we add a yod to these, meaning he. So we add a yod to these, meaning he. And so we add a yod to Hawa. Now the question becomes, what are the vowels? The tricky part, right? The challenging part. So there are innumerable witnesses that tell us that the first part of Yahweh's name is not ye, because if you were just to say he is, it would actually be pronounced Yahweh, just like those other words went from what? They went from like Ra'ah to Yireh, I should say. And this went from Bana to Yivneh, right? And so in the same way, this would go to Yahweh if it's just regular old third person, imperfect, singular, masculine. But we know his name is not Yahweh because it does not match the Yahu endings in words like Eliyahu, or that's Eliyahu or Elijah, Yirmiyahu, that's Jeremiah, or Netanyahu. We have a prime minister in Israel right now called Netanyahu. Well, the Yahu is what is in the front, not Ye, but Yah. And there is a ton of ancient witnesses that will inform us that his name is not beginning with Ye, it's beginning with Yah. So, the next question would be, what verb form would give us Yah in the beginning instead of Ye? The only possible verb form that you're going to find that gives us Yah instead of Ye is third person called the Hefil, meaning it's causative. Causative. So, go back to that word, Ra'ah. For it to say means to see. If you're going to say he will cause to see, then you're going to say Yahreh. He will cause to see. Is it becoming clear now? What if I want to say Bana? He will cause to build. Then it will be, instead of Bana, it will be Yahveh. He will cause to build. So, when we're looking at the Tetragrammaton, this is not possible because we don't have Yah. It can't be Ayah because he didn't spell it that way. The only possible pronunciation that gives us a meaning in Hebrew would be Yahweh, just like Yahveh, and just like the other word that we looked at, Yahweh, third person, causative. That means he will cause and he causes to be that which is. I hope you're following along. We'll do it again. Very simple. Just as Ra'ah becomes Yahreh, and Bana becomes Yahveh. These are both Laman He verbs, end in He. Okay, the end of the letter He. Then we have the name Yahweh, or the verb Hawa becoming Yahweh. That's simple. If you know Hebrew, it's simple. It's easy. It's not difficult. So, in light of this, is it possible that anciently it was pronounced a little bit different than Yahweh? I mean, anything's possible. I mean, were you a tape recorder back then? Nobody had a tape recorder. In fact, we actually do see evidence of different dialects in Hebrew. Judges chapter 12, verse 5 says, the Gileadites seized the fords of the Jordan before the Ephraimites arrived. When an Ephraimite who escaped said, let me cross over, the men of Gilead would say to him, "Are you Ephraimite?" If he said no, then they would say to him, "Then say Shibboleth." And what he would say is Sibboleth, for he could not pronounce it right. That means he couldn't say the SH sound. Just within the Hebrew culture, in Judges chapter 12, we have men that can't say SH. They can only say S. Well, then they would take him and kill him at the fords of the Jordan, and there fell at that time 42,000 Ephraimites could not say it, and therefore they lost their life. And that's how they determined whether or not they were really Ephraimite or not. Because Ephraimites could not say Shibboleth. And we know even Peter, the woman who thought Peter was a Galilean because his speech betrayed him, there was a different dialect in Galilean Hebrew. So it's okay. It's okay. Calm down. There might be a little different dialect. And if that's the case, all right, it is. So what? The point is, we want to express the thing that Yahweh himself wanted to express in whatever dialect it is that of Hebrew that we speak. And the dialect that has been handed down to us by the Masoretes is the dialect that gives us Yahweh. That sounds scary? I hope not, because the main thing he wants us to express when we call upon his name, "O one that causes all things to be." That's what he wants to hear. The one who causes all things to be. That's what he wants to hear. So he is the one that caused me. So when he's talking to the children of Israel, he says, "Thus you shall say to them, he who causes to be, mighty one of your fathers, the mighty one of Abraham, the mighty one of Isaac, the mighty one of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations." Now some say, well, the Masoretes did not have the ancient vowels, and their Hebrew is different than the Hebrew spoken in most ancient times. However, the only Hebrew text that we have available to us with vowels in it is the Masoretic text. And so, if someone wants to say they're wrong, they cannot prove they're wrong. They can't prove it. It's not possible. You'd have a tape recorder, so, well, they're wrong because of, here, listen to this. Now, if someone claims that they're wrong, they don't just have to claim that they're wrong in one thing. They're going to have to completely reinvent the language and how all those verbs change and what they change into to tell you what that word means, whether it's first person, third person, second person, masculine, feminine, plural, singular, causative, reflexive, all these things. You would have to go in and completely gut the language and rewrite it into something that's coherent linguistically. What has been handed to us is coherent linguistically. It's coherent. It can be understood. And that's why we have people that can translate it for us into our language. So when we're talking about the language that the Masoretes had, you might say that's only, you know, 1,200 years old. The truth is, not so. Not so at all. And I'll prove that because I actually have some evidence I'm going to show you. But everyone I know that says, well, these vowels are all wrong, I'm going to ask them, then show me the complete system of language that you have in store for us to tell us how to know whether something is first person, second person. Show it to me. They can't do it. They can't do it. And I've never seen anybody actually do it. So now, according to Emmanuel Tov, he is a well-respected Hebrew scholar. He says that the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Old Testament Hebrew, that dates all the way back to 3rd century BC really matches up extremely well with the vowel points a thousand years later, in the Masoretic text. So in other words, the Masoretic text and their vowel points match up extremely well to the vowel points or the vowels that are found in Greek in a Septuagint, which was 3rd century B.C. 3rd century B.C., 200 years before Yahshua came, all right? And I'll show you some examples of that later, but I want us to think about for a moment the implications of his name having a meaning in Hebrew that means he causes to be. Here are the implications. Take a look at Ezekiel 37, verse 6. I'll put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am Yahweh. Well, don't they already know he's Yahweh? I mean, they came to this prophet to listen to him. What's he saying? Then you will know that I am he who causes to be. When I put sinews on you, bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath on you. We went over this last week. Then they're going to know he's the one that causes all things to be. He's the one. Yahweh is the one that causes all to be. So we understand now what he's saying when he says, then you shall know that I am Yahweh. Then you shall know that I am he that causes all things to be. And there are 73 scriptures where he makes this same statement. Then you will know that I am Yahweh. Then you will know that I am he that causes to be, and I will cause you to know that I am the one that causes all to be by what I do. Then you will know. And we know the book of Hebrews says he who comes to Elohim must believe that what? He is. He is. Coming back to that root verb, to be. So, we're going to take a look at two other pronunciations of this Yahuwah and Yehovah. We're going to look at two others in a minute. But we need to know that, first of all, neither of them are valid or correct conjugations or modifications of the original Hebrew Haya or Hawa. Neither of them, neither Yehovah nor Yahuwah, are valid. They make no sense in Hebrew. Actually, they're just gibberish in Hebrew. In the same way, if someone tried to tell me, an English speaker, that the word ran should actually be pronounced reen, I would look at them and say, huh? Because it doesn't make any sense what you're saying. I mean, it's ran, not reen, it's ran. Yeah, I know because I speak the language, right? And so Yahuwah and Yehovah, neither of them have a meaning. None of them can, you can look and go, oh, here's what that means, okay? So look at our graphic here. Not valid Hebrew. If you don't believe me, just do a Google search. Are Yahuwah or Yehovah a valid verbal form of Haya or Hawa? And yeah, Huah, Yahuwah are not considered valid verbal forms of Haya or Hawa in the sense of being direct conjugations of those Hebrew words. They're not. They're just not. And so if you don't believe me, I mean, you do your Google searches for all kinds of things. There's a reason why it says that, because it doesn't make any sense in the language. Now, it seems clear to me that when Moshe asked Yahweh, what do I tell them your name was? And he said, Eye. He's trying to let you know his name has a meaning. That he is. He is. Eye is the first person. Yahweh is third person. Eye, I am, therefore, we're going to say, he causes to be, because he's the one that is. Because he is, he's the one that can cause all things to be. And so Yahweh himself was trying to attach an actual meaning to his name. For me to put up a name that has no meaning will be to thwart his ideal, which was to show you his name had a meaning. Okay? Because some suggest, well, you know, Hebrew names don't have to follow verb patterns, don't have to follow the rules, because they just don't have to. But the fact that I am, does follow rules, it makes sense that the name he gives us would follow the rules, especially when he says, tell him AA sent you. But you're going to say it third person. He causes to be that which is, because he is. So in light of this, I love the fact that I can actually just quote scripture to provide me with pronunciation. And I just look at Exodus chapter 3. There's no better person to consult as far as how to pronounce his name than Yahweh himself. And so the pronunciation Yahweh does communicate what Yahweh wanted us to communicate and express whenever we call upon him. He is the one that caused all to be. Isn't that the central question of all religion? Who is the one that caused all this anyway? Who's the one that caused everything that there is to be what it is? That's the central question. And so when you're using the pronunciation Yahweh, you're calling out, O one who caused all things to be. That's who I'm calling upon right now. I'm calling upon the one who caused all this. You're identifying the one specific Elohim that caused everything. That caused you to be, caused me to be, caused salvation to be, caused everything to be. That's what he wants us to say when we call upon him. So, nevertheless, let's take a look at these other pronunciations and the reasoning they provide for them. We're going to start here with Yahuwah. Yahuwah, that's actually one of the more popular ones of late. But I can't rely on popularity. If there's anything we've learned, haven't we learned? Because it's popular, that doesn't make it right. We kind of learned that a little bit already, didn't we? So, somebody sent me this video, a man walking around with a camera phone in front of him, all like this, you know, and this is how it is. 20-some-year-old person. And this is what he said. He said, Yahuwah means Yah gives life, because the word Eve means life. Hawa means life. Therefore, Yahuwah means Yah gives life. Now, the person that said that obviously does not know Hebrew. Because, look, there's two different Hebrew letters here. The one provides us with the ah sound, and this down here, it's not hawa, it's the Hebrew letter chet, and it's pronounced chawa. Two completely different Hebrew letters. Chet is not the same as hey. And Yahweh's name is not Yahuwah, right? No one's ever says it's Yahuwah. It's not a hey. It's not a chet that's in the middle. It's a hey, not a chet. And so the idea was that since, this is what he built upon, since he gives the breath of life, therefore it means Yah gives the breath of life. Well, you know, you can't do that. You can't do it that way. It doesn't derive from Hawa. The name derives from this. Ha, not ha, but hawa, which does not mean life. It means to exist, to be. That's what it means. And then they build upon that and they say, it must be correct because when you breathe, you will hear, unconsciously, you will speak the name of Yahuwah with every breath that you take. All right, so I tried it. Now, listen real close. I don't hear at all. I don't hear at all. And I don't hear at all. Unless I move my tongue to give me the yuh sound to begin it with, and then move my lips to go ooh, and then open my mouth wide to go ah. I don't hear any of those when I breathe naturally. I mean, I could say that. I could say Yahweh. As long as I move my tongue to Yah and then Wah, you know, way, you know, I can do that too. And it proves absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing. Also, the fact that his name is not etymologically related to anything meaning breathing life, it cannot be anything. It's I am, or to be, is how he expressed himself initially. Therefore, we're going to say, since he is, he caused all to be that which is. All right. Now, others claim that modern Hebrew is different than Paleo Hebrew. See how different it looks? And in modern Hebrew, the script Yod looks like this. The ancient Paleo Hebrew, it looks like this. And therefore, the language was different then. And so, yeah, today it is Yahweh, but anciently it was Yahuwah. All right, well, first of all, we have to understand how script writing started. It started with people writing things like oxes, and then it kind of devolved into this and devolved into that. But either way, looking here closely, you'll see that the yod that we recognize as a yod right here is originally expressed this way. Before then, it was expressed that way. And so, looking back here, it's the same letter. It's just two ways of writing down the same letter. Same thing here with the letter hey. Same thing here with the letter wa. They're just two ways of writing down the same letter. The same sound, the same letter, same everything. So, for a person to say, I want to learn Paleo Hebrew, that's like someone saying, I want to learn Times New Roman English. Or I want to learn Arial English, or Verdana English, or Brush Script English. It doesn't make any difference the way the letters are written. It's still giving us the same language. Now, I say the same language because I can prove that. Look at the Ketef Hinnom. The Ketef Hinnom is the oldest known Bible text ever found. It is dating back to 600 BCE. Solomon's temple is still standing when this thing was written. Josiah was the king of Judah at this time it was written. Hilkiah had found the book of the law in the temple when this was written. And so someone who had access to the original book of the law, copied down by Moshe himself, wrote this down in an amulet scroll. Now, in spite of 2,600 years of time transpiring, what was written down by Moshe and copied onto this silver amulet scroll, which has the Paleo Hebrew, if you just change the font, it is letter for letter identical to what is in the Masoretic text today. Here we are 2,600 years later, and it's identical. Not even one letter is different. And so the language itself is still the same. It's not any different than it was then. There might be a little dialect difference here and there, but you cannot prove what it is if there is a dialect difference. Now, somebody might say, well, the vowels are all messed up because the Masoretes wanted to hide the pronunciation of our Heavenly Father's name. That's true. They did want to hide it. The Masoretes had the responsibility of maintaining the copies of the Hebrew Scriptures. And that was their job. And yes, when it came to the Heavenly Father's name, they did intentionally put the vowels for Adonai or Elohim interspersed with the sacred name Yod-Heh, Wav-Heh. And they did that. Okay. Why? Because they did not want you to know the pronunciation. Now, that being the case, did you know that the final vowel that they used, when they put that in there, for the vowels for Adonai, and they interspersed it with the Hebrew letters for Yahweh, the final syllable is Ah, Yahuwah. Now, if they're trying to hide the fact that the Father's name, his last syllable is Ah, they definitely wouldn't be putting Ah in the final syllable in a name that they're trying to hide the pronunciation of. The fact that they put Ah as a final syllable intermixed with the Tetragrammaton, the Father's name, tells me Ah cannot be the final syllable in our Father's name. It has to be something different. And that's one reason I believe it should be A instead of Ah. So just that alone demonstrates the Yahuwah is not an accurate translation, or should say pronunciation. Now, another person promoting Yahuwah pronunciation said that because the Hebrew letter Hey gives us an Ah sound at the beginning of the name, it must give us the Ah sound at the end of the name. Is that true? A lot of people think there was no A sound anciently, but the truth is the word Moshe, look at the word Moshe, ends in the letter He, and that gives us the A sound. And so there it is. There's Moshe giving us the A sound. I've got more than that. Take a look at these. Yabneh begins and ends with the same letters as Yahweh's name, Yod and He, yet it ends with an A sound. Yah, Yabneh. There's Shahweh. Begins with Ah, ends with A. Same two letters as Yahweh, these two letters, same letters as Yahweh, and it ends with an A sound. Here's Elale. Again, starts with L, ends in A, ends the A sound. How about Mikveh? Mikveh actually is pronounced Mikveh in Hebrew. Most people say, well, I got a Mikveh. Well, it's not accurate. The word mikveh is actually the pool. It's not the act of baptizing. But it ends with the A sound, even though he is the final letter. Now, some say that Masoretic vowel points reflect the later form of Hebrew and all that. But when you look at the Septuagint that translates these three names, what do they come up with? The Septuagint is a 3rd century BCE translation of the Old Testament into Greek. When they saw Yabneh in the Hebrew, what do? They give you Yabneh. When they saw Shahweh, they gave us the Greek letters for Sahweh, because they don't have an SH sound in Greek. And when they saw the name Elale, they did their best, but it ended in A. All these three, is the A sound at the end of Greek. Greek has no Greek letter for, there's no Greek letter for A, but there is a Greek letter for E. And so technically those are Elale, Sawa, and Yabneh. All right, but either way, it's not A in any of those names. And so the letter He does not have to be an A sound at the end of a name. That proves it. Anciently, you don't go back here 2,300 to 2,200 years. that what they, the Septuagint writers, had put down is pretty much the same thing as what the Masoretic text is saying much, much later. And so the idea that anciently both of them had to be Ah is disproven by this alone. Now, another argument used by those who favor Yahuwah pronunciation is the idea that it's based on Judah's name. And Judah's name just being one letter different than the Heavenly Father's name. And they point out here, look, these three letters are the same. Or these four letters are the same as what's in Yahweh's name. And the only difference is they've added a D sound. And that we know as Yehuda. Therefore, this must be Yahuwah. All right. And the idea, well, you make his name real simple. If it's Yehuda, this must be Yahuwah. However, you cannot determine the pronunciation of one word to tell you the pronunciation of another word in Hebrew, or any language, actually. For instance, this is the word Yehemeh, found in Jeremiah 6:23, Yehemeh. Does that mean that this is Yehweh? I should say the W there. Does that mean this is Yehweh? Because there's Yehemeh. Does that mean this is Yehweh? No. Yet, the only letter difference is, here's the Mem, and there's the Wod. That's the only letter difference. How about this word here? Yege. Well, here's Yege. Does this mean this is Yehweh? No. Well, yet there's only one letter difference, and that's the Waw and the Gimel. That's the only difference. Now, if you remove vowels from English words that have the same consonants, for instance, W-R-D, you might think that's word. It could be word. It could also be ward. It could also be weird. It could also be wired. And they all have very different meanings from each other. And the same thing with Hebrew. Here's the sheen. Sheen, aleph, wav, lamed. And what's this word? It's Shaul. What's this word? Spelled exactly the same, only the vowel letters are different. It's Sheol. One means grave, and one's the name of King Saul. And so you can't use, I mean, here's the same exact word as far as the, without vowels, it's the same word. If you don't put the vowels in there, you're going to think it's the same word. And yet the two different words come out of these same exact Hebrew letters and are pronounced differently. One's Shaul and one's Sheol. And so you cannot use the fact that one letter's different to tell you what another word means. It just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. And also, if the Yahu in Yehuda, Yahu or Yehuda, you look at how it traces back, this Da at the end is taking us back to the Hebrew word Yada, 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 which means to give thanks, to praise, has different kind of meanings. But Yahweh's name does not trace back to this word for praise. And so it can't be a conjugation of Yada. It doesn't trace back to Yada. In fact, this Yahu takes us back to Yahweh, the self-existing one, the one that causes all things to be. And then another word, so two words are being put together here, and the da, the final ah sound, is coming from yada, not coming from hawa or haya, from which we get to be or to exist. All right, so it's all being jumbled here to try to prove something that it can't be used to prove anything. So, now some people say, well, Yehuda is the one called by his name, and therefore it must have the same sounds as his name. Well, the reason why Yahweh says, you're a people called by my name, and it wasn't just Judah, that was called by Yahweh's name. It was all 12 tribes are called by his name. And the reason why the 12 tribes are called by his name is because the priestly blessing, Yahweh bless you and keep you, Yahweh make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, Yahweh have his countenance upon you and give you peace. It says, so they shall put my name upon just Judah? No, all the children of Israel, and I will bless them. And so his name is placed upon us. His name is written on our foreheads. 12 tribes have a name written on their foreheads. And so they are a people who are called by his name. And so in conclusion, to base this pronunciation, you know, Issachar, Levi, all these are called by his name too, but yet there's no hint of Yahweh being interposed in their actual name. That does not prove anything at all. And so, in conclusion, the basic pronunciation of Heavenly Father's name on how another name is pronounced, you can't do that. It doesn't work. What about Yehovah? It kind of came as a surprise to me, mainly coming from one person that's not even a believer, promoting this Yehovah pronunciation. But this word Yehovah came about when there was ancient, the Masoretic text. If you were to just pronounce as written, it would be Yehovah. And for years and years and years, we told the Jehovah Witnesses they were wrong, that Jehovah is not an actual pronunciation of the Father's name, because they were trying to get you to say Adonai whenever you came to the name, and so they put the vowels for Adonai in the midst of the name. But those who promote the Yehovah pronunciation will say that the scribes were not trying to hide the name at all. No, they weren't trying to hide it. They're actually correct in their vowel points. And so it would be Yehovah. Now this sounds, and their main argument is, the first initial letter, when they put the vowels for Adonai inside, is not an ah for Adonai at all. It's an eh. And so they see, there you go. They weren't trying to tell you it's Adonai. They're trying to let you know that you would actually be pronouncing it yeah, not yah. Well, when you have the fact that the ah and Adonai matches the first sound of Yahweh's name, and they're trying to get you to not to say the name, they're not going to put the ah there. They're going to put something else, even though the rest is Adonai. The most ancient witness I found for the Yah beginning of his name is found in the Qumran manuscript of the Septuagint, and they're translating the phrase commands of Yahweh, is what it reads, Leviticus 4:27. And when they came to the name of Yahweh, they put Yahu there. They didn't want to complete it, so they put Yahu. But their witness here, and this is going back to the first century BC, is the first part of his name is not Yeh, it's Yah. And in fact, it's Yahu. And I believe it is Yahu. Yahweh. And I believe the Messiah's name is Yahushua. Yahweh, Yahushua. All right. So, the easiest way, really, to prove this is not correct is to look at this. Grab a strong lexicon. Look it up. Make sure you're looking at Strong's or some other, you know, number 3068 is the one where we see the vowels Yehovah, Yehovah. That's why people say it's Yehovah. The V was actually a W initially, but Yehovah. All right, so that's what you're going to find. That's their little sign for them to tell you to say Adonai. Again, why don't they put an A here? Because the A is actually the first, the correct pronunciation, and so they put something else there. To prove that this was what they were trying to do, and to prove that they were not trying to give you the actual correct pronunciation, you only need to look at Strong's lexicon number 3069. 3069 is actually a variant. It's found many, 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 many times in the Hebrew. And notice that the vowel points are different now, giving us Yahuwah instead of Yahuwah. Why is it Yahuwah instead of Yahuwah? The reason why is this. Whenever the Hebrew text says Adonai Yahweh, this is what you're always going to see right here, Yahuwah. You'll never see Yahuwah after Adonai comes first, which means master. You're not going to see it. Whenever Adonai comes before our Heavenly Father's name, it's the vowel points they put in here is E-O-E. Why? They want you to say Adonai Elohim. That's why. You follow me? And so the whole reason why we have Yahuwah in our Strong's lexicon is because there's bunches and bunches of times that our Heavenly Father is called Adonai Yahweh. Well, if you still kept this Adonai vowel points for here, then you end up with Adonai Adonai. That kind of sounds silly. In fact, in our English translations, whenever you see the Lord and then God, capital G, capital O, capital D, it traces back to this Yahuwah right here. That's why the one translation of this Yahuwah is English God. That's why. That's why it happened. That's how it happened. And so this easily proves they weren't trying to give you the correct vowels. Because what do you do with these other ones, Yahuwah? What do you do with those? And it just so happens that every time Yahuwah shows up, Adonai comes before it. The reason why they got these vowels up there is to get you to say Adonai. And they didn't always include the O sound. I mean, it was since they were little children, they've been taught when they see those four letters, they're going to say Adonai. When they see Adonai and then those four letters, they're going to say Adonai Elohim. That's just what they do, and that's why they do it. All right. In fact, there are places where in the same sentence in Hebrew, you'll find sometimes they include the O and sometimes they don't include the O. And those can be found in Exodus 13:9, Jeremiah 36:8, Ezekiel 44:5, and Nahum 1:3. You'll find both Yahuwah and Yahweh without the O within the sentence itself. And so it's not two different scribes writing down the same sentence. And so there, the whole theory there is simply not true. In fact, the word Yahuwah, there's a bunch of times there's no O there either. There's no O in the Yahuwah. A lot of times it's not there either. So I have a point-by-point rebuttal to this man who started this Yahuwah stuff, and feel free to contact me if you're interested. So I want to take it back here once more to more evidence for the Yahweh pronunciation. To refresh your memory, the reason why we use Yahweh is because it means He causes to be. This is how you say the verb hawa in Hebrew, He causes to exist. That's how you say it. And so this word has a meaning. Yahuwah carries no meaning. If it carries a meaning, it might even mean, because Hawa in Hebrew means ruin and destruction, you might be actually saying Yah is ruin and destruction. Look up Strong's number 1943 if you don't believe me. But the Yahuwah doesn't really carry a meaning in Hebrew. Actually, Yahweh does carry a meaning in Hebrew, and it's a powerful meaning that we are going to speak when we call upon Him. Now, the historian by the name of Josephus, he lived in the first century. He watched the destruction of Jerusalem. He was a priest, at least he was in the line of priests. His father was in the priest line here. He wrote, "A mitre of fine linen was encompassed upon the high priest's head, which was tied by a blue ribbon. about which there was another golden crown, in which was engraven the sacred name. He said, it consists of four vows. What consists of four vows? Something written on this golden crown, specifically the sacred name. Well, if you look here, Exodus 28:36 says, you shall make a plate of pure gold, engrave it on it, like the engraving of a signet, holiness to Yahweh. And you shall put it on a blue cord, that may be on the turban. It shall be in front of the turban. It shall be on Aaron's forehead. So encompass on his head. You've got this sacred name consisting of four vowels. Now, in Hebrew, there are four letters, contrary to what you may have heard, that can function as vowels. They are Yod, Aleph, Wah, and He. Just so happens, Yahweh's name consists of Yod, He, Wah, He. And so his name really does consist of four vowels. That may surprise you. But look at this word here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The U here is giving us, the Wav letter is giving us the U sound. Hallelujah. And the He letter is giving us the Ah sound in Yah. So two letters functioning as vowels. Even the word Elohim, the E here is giving us the E and then la, he, e. Here's giving us the E sound. The Yod is giving us the E sound, Elohim. Here's the word, Nineveh. Here we have the Yod giving us an E sound in Nin. Nin. And then here's the A sound, that's Sere. This letter down here is a Sere. And so therefore this final H is not pronounced, except it's a vowel giving us the A sound, just like in Yahweh. So, if you were to pronounce the Heavenly Father's name simply using four vowels, if the four vowel letters are Aleph, He, Wav, and Yod, we know the Heavenly Father's name has the, what, Yod, the He, the Wah, and there's four vowels. So this would be I, the letter I is a vowel. This would be Ah, A. This would be U, that's giving us the U sound. And then the final giving us the A sound. E, E-ah, E-ah, E-ah. U-A, E-A-U-A, 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 E-A-U-A. Four vowels giving us E-A-U-A, spoken quickly, E-A-U-A, E-A-U-A, E-A-U-A. Now I put a W here because it's a double U. And if I wrote his name out this way, people would think I'm saying Yahuwah. They would aspirate the H. But because I put a double U there, they don't aspirate the H, and they say Yahweh. That's why it's spelled the way it is. So, Yahushua, Yahweh. Eliyahu, if you listen to a person in Israel speaking the name of the prime minister, they're not going to say Benjamin Netanyahu. They're going to say Benjamin Netanyahu. Yahweh. Yahweh, Yahweh. I find it interesting. Remember the vowels you learned in grade school? A, E, I, O, and U, and sometimes Y? Remember that? If you arrange them differently to I, A, O, U, E, E, I, O, U, A, Yahweh. Yah, Yah. Okay. When you go from A to U, there's a slight O there. Ah. Oh, Yahweh. Hear it? It's very slight, not quite heard, but you can still there. Yahweh, Yahweh. So actually, when you go from A to U, you pronounce an O. It's kind of interesting that in grade school, you rearrange those and it comes up with our Father's name. Interestingly enough, there was a second century Christian by the name of Clement of Alexandria, and he said, further, the mystic name of four letters which is affixed to those alone to whom the adjutant is accessible is called, and this is the Greek letters, he wrote out the pronunciation with vowels, and it corresponds to Yahweh. So, the initial E, A, Yahu, Yahu, Yahweh. Interesting. And so, he had it right. I'm not relying on him. I'm relying on the conjugation of Hebrew to tell me this pronunciation. But it's interesting that both him and Josephus would back up what I'm saying. And so, to me, it's pretty clear. Now, I want to say that there are some people out there trying to say that the word Jove, which is the ablative case of Jupiter, is pronounced Yahweh in Greek. That is simply not true. Not true. I asked two separate experts in classical Latin, and both of them said, no, it's Yo, as in Joe. Yahweh, as in wet. Yahweh. Yahweh is the ablative case of the noun Jupiter. Unlike our language, in that language, they actually do change the way a person's name sounds based on grammar. In the case of Jupiter, the name is the Yov, and so Yahweh is its dative and ablative single form. It's only found 20% of the time, maybe 30%. For instance, Ab Yahweh means from Jupiter. Yahweh is the ablative form of Jupiter. Now, the fact that it's that, oh no, that's too close to Yahweh. I can't do that. You can't do that? What about the ancient Hebrew god from Egypt named Yah? Israel came out of Egypt and Yah was the moon idol of Egypt. Does that mean you can't say hallelujah because you're praising a moon god? No, no, of course not. And someone might say, well, see, you guys that you're following this one named Yah, you know, he's got this calendar based on the moon, therefore, you know, that's what they want to say. Just because, look, languages have overlapping sounds. Yah in German and in Slovenia means yes. You listen to them talk, yes, Yah, Yah, Yah. They're not pronouncing Yahweh's name. It's a different thing altogether. To prove causation, you'd have to trace one to the other. And the truth is, the only thing Yahweh traces to is the ancient form of the Hebrew word to be. The Yahweh is its own language. It's the ablative form of Jupiter. Okay? It's nothing to do with our Heavenly Father's sacred name. Nothing whatsoever. So listen, do not rely on what people who don't know the language and pretend to know what it's saying, don't rely on them. Rely on people that know the language to tell you how the language works. You would not rely on a Spanish speaker who can't speak English to inform you as to how to say an English word, right? And so don't rely on someone who's not really informed as to how the language functions and how it works and to tell you what it means, all right, or how it's pronounced. I'm not claiming to be a scholar. I've been studying Hebrew for a long, long time. I know enough to tell you what I'm telling you, and it can be backed up by any scholar. Anson Rainey was one of them. A lot of them are saying these things, okay? So it is not... It's based on Yahweh himself giving us the etymology of his name. And that's how the name Yahweh came into our understanding. So, now, if you come to a different idea, a different pronunciation, I'm not going to stand here in condemnation of you. I can worship with you. I trust that we are all doing our very best. But for me, the name Yahweh is what makes sense grammatically. It comes from Hebrew itself. It's a conjugation of the verb hawa. And therefore, that's what I'm going to roll with. It has an actual meaning in the language. Now, the well-respected Encyclopedia Britannica will tell you his name really is Yahweh, and that pronunciation was never really lost. And that's what they have said, very verbatim. It says here, although Christian scholars after Renaissance and Reformation periods used the term Jehovah for YHWH, in the 19th and 20th centuries, Bible scholars began to use the form Yahweh. Early Christian writers such as Clement of Alexandria in the 2nd century had used the form like Yahweh, and this pronunciation of Tetragrammaton was never really lost. I think the fact that Yahweh made sure it consisted of vowels helped us to counter those who claim Hebrew is strictly a consonantal, only consonants in the language. It just so happens the three letters found in his name, Yod, He, and Wah, with the He being repeated twice, do give us the vowels. And the vowel sounds, if you match it up with how Hebrew functions, what you come to is the name Yahweh. He causes all things to be. So, let's look again. Exodus 3:14 through 15. Elohim said to Moshe, I am who I am. Eye, Asher, Eye. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, Elohim said to Moshe, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, Yahweh, he who causes to be, the mighty one of your father. He's identifying himself. I'm the one that your fathers worshipped. I'm the one that caused everything to be. I'm the one that was the mighty one of Abraham, the mighty one of Isaac, the mighty one of Jacob. That's the one that's coming to you. Moshe is sending, is being sent by Moshe, or is being sent by Yahweh to you. This is my name forever. He who causes to be is my name forever. This is my memorial. How are you going to remember him? For all generations. This is the one whom we're calling upon in heaven. The one who caused all things to be. The one who caused all creation to be. The one who caused me and you to be. And when I rebelled against him, he caused me to see who he is and caused me to be saved when I repented and I put my trust in Messiah Yahshua for the forgiveness of sin. And one day I will cease from life on this side of glory. One day I'll cease from life on this side of glory. But he will cause me to be raised again, the one who causes all things to be. And until then, I want to hear this. I want to hear his loving kindness in the morning. As the scripture says, he caused me to hear his loving kindness in the morning. And he caused me to trust in him. No wonder scripture says, blessed are all those who trust in him. Blessed be the name of Yahweh forever. Blessed be his glorious name forever. Sing to Yahweh, to his glorious name. Blessed be his glorious name, which means he's the one that caused all things to be. And to him, let's take a moment and give thanks. Heavenly Father, Yahweh, Kadosh, 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 be your great name. We thank you for who you are, the one who caused all things to be that which is, both in this world and in us as well. We honor you. We praise you. We thank you. And Father, if we're saying it a little wrong or something, you know our hearts. We want to declare who you are. You are the creator of the universe. You are the one that made us a new creation, causing us to be a part of the body of Messiah. Thank you for being who you are. Because you said, Eye, I am. You were, you are, and you always will be. The one who was, who is, and is to come. For truly we know, and we are sure. Yours is the kingdom and power and glory and majesty. And if there's anyone in the sound of my voice who has not declared that you are the Elohim, the mighty one, who caused all things to be, who caused Yahshua to come on this earth and love us and die for us and express your perfect image to us, open their eyes and ears to hear and see the truth. That they are loved, they need a Savior. In Yahshua HaMashiach, put their trust in Him and let Him take on their sin, that they don't have to. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. In Yahshua's name we pray. Amen.